keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch a scenario. My stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah. Just nod your head with it, so explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it, no scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool, hear my heartbeat beat into the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so, no overdose cause it's dope. Yo man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow, down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
It is not enough for me to stand before you tonight and condemn riots. It would be morally irresponsible for me to do so. Without, at the same time, condemning the contingent, intolerable conditions that exist in our society. These conditions are the things that cause individuals to feel that they have no other alternative than to engage in violent rebellions to get attention. And I must say tonight that a riot is a language of the unheard. Martin Luther King, March 14th, 1968. Welcome everybody to the Anti-Media Radio. We have a crazy situation going on right now in the country, and it's not exactly the biggest surprise. We've been covering this police brutality phenomena for the last couple years here in the anti-media, and you know, we've been seeing an explosion of police violence, and people are getting extremely, extremely tired of it. We saw it late last year with the killing of Mike Brown, Eric Garner, and what went on in Ferguson, New York. Los Angeles, and all these crazy things that have been happening, you know, ever since. And you know, there's so many different things that are going on with this whole police brutality topic. And we're gonna take some callers here. We've already had to turn down a few because we're still getting into this intro. Hopefully, we'll be joined tonight by our co-host. He's down in Peru right now in Lima, so I'm not sure if he's going to be able to call in. Our friend Jake and our team member Jake, who's been hanging with me in the studio the last few shows, he's under the weather. I am too. Sorry if I cough a little bit tonight. He's a little under the weather, so he won't be here tonight. Hopefully Manny calls in. We do have some special guests. We have John Vibes calling in, author of The Conscious Resistance, and we also have Luis Fernando Mises that is going to call in as well from Emancipated Human, and we're going to talk about some of this stuff going on here, and hopefully we can have a debate. We're going to take some callers. Anybody that wants to join the show, like I said, I had to decline a few calls already, but anyone that wants to call in, feel free to call and join us. Let's talk about what's going on in Baltimore. Let's have a debate. Let's flesh out some ideas here. Anyone who wants to call in, 718-717-8296. Once again, I'm your host, Nick Burnaby, here on UCY.TV. This is the Anti-Media Radio. So let's get started here. First off, this gentleman, Freddie Gray, isn't the first person to be killed by the Baltimore police. In fact, there's been over 100 killings recently in Baltimore by the cops. And you know, it, like I was saying, this is a huge problem, and it's going on all over the place. I don't know if it's a growing problem or if it's just that more people have phones and are able to record what's going on. We all know the situation that just came out of the Carolinas just, I don't know, a month ago. It wasn't even that long ago, where the cop was gunned a guy down, shot him in the back, and then tried to plant a taser on him, said that he was fighting him for the taser. And, you know, luckily the guy, someone recorded it in the park there and waited until the cops were lying about it, and then, you know, exposed them for what they were doing. So, you know, this isn't just isolated to Baltimore, San Diego here, Los Angeles, just north of here. I mean, there's so many different places where this police brutality is really coming to a head, and people all over the country are really kind of starting to really fight back, and taking some pretty extreme measures, you know, when it comes to you know, letting people know that they're not going to stand for this. So now I am joined by Luis Fernando Maicis. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad. So Luis has a awesome podcast called The Emancipated Human. I think that's on the Anarchast, right? And you had me on your show a while back, and we got into some interesting topics, to say the least. But you join us here tonight on a pretty insane show. We are going to have another caller on the line, so we're going to have a somewhat of a three-way going here between us and whoever else decides to call in from the audience to join the call. But obviously, we're going to be touching on what's going on in Baltimore, and I know you've probably got a unique perspective on this. I know I've got a perspective, and I know John Vibes also has another perspective on this. So let's hopefully we could all kind of you know, mash this out and see if we can't get to the bottom of why, you know, these things are happening, why people are getting into rebellion mode, why people are going out into the streets and really, you know, doing what they're doing out there right now in Baltimore, rioting, looting, all that stuff. I guess, first of all, Luis, what do you think of this whole situation? What do you make of it?
Well, I think it's very crazy. And I mean, my mind doesn't just, I cannot, it's so hard to say. I think that a lot of those unfortunate events are planted. They're not just like, I mean, I'm sure like somebody, I don't know who, but like they plan and they take these kinds of situations with people that are already angry and use them to create more division. You know, you see a lot of footage that are, and especially like a lot of right-wing stuff, you know, that is pretty divisive, a lot of racist things. So it's just another way to divert the situation from the real problem to a tool that will help whomever, like I say, whomever is doing this, to further divide us. So, I mean, that's I cannot get away from that. What do you think about that?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's definitely an interesting way of looking at it. I mean, I personally don't put anything out of the range of possibility. You know, it's something that could happen. You know, it could be something that was planned. I know there was a lot of people talking about what happened out in the Carolinas. It looked like a setup and stuff like that. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that right now there's a bunch of people out in Baltimore getting down, even as we speak. I mean, I saw a video a few minutes ago where a bunch of guys had the cops on the run and stuff, and it was pretty, you know, a pretty interesting dynamic going on. I think we do have our other callers that were going to join us today. I think we have Manny Aguilar on the line. How you doing, Manny?
What's up, brother? How you doing?
Pretty good, man. We're just getting into this. You know, what's going on in Baltimore, these riots, the civil disobedience, the protests, whatever, you know, whatever. We're trying to get the perspectives that everybody has here. So what do you think's going on over there, Manny?
Well, with me, I got two people on the ground myself, huh? You know, we won't mention no names, you know. But let's say I don't have anybody on the ground. Bottom line, what I loved about a black person that is on the ground that I've really known for Baltimore for a long time says that a lot of people, you know, a lot of people in the black community are rooting for other people in the black community. Well, my perspective is the same way. These people are ruining for activist people like me that believe in the Martin Luther King way, the Cesar Chavez way, you know, the Gandhi way, and the Dalai Lama way. You know what I mean? And stuff like that. When has hate ever changed anything? Not a damn thing. He's never done it. That's why I think something like this puts us back in the civil rights. Nothing has been solved in the civil rights because there's always agitators on both sides, not only the cops, but other people that don't want to see us have peace anyway and stuff like that. So when I see people telling me, you know, like this person in particular, you're burning up a brother's taxi cab, a brother, you know what I mean? What's he got to do with you're mad at the cops? That's not an activist. I'm not going to go, burn what you have made your living on. I'm supporting you on the $15 an hour, and now I'm burning your vehicle that you make money with. It doesn't make any sense to me and stuff like that. Now, another thing, let's suppose I support the violence. You know what? How stupid are they? They're not even going to the rich people's neighborhoods. They're doing the same thing to Rodney King. They're going to our neighborhoods and stuff like that. I like to see if they really want to make a difference, why don't they go down there to the main offices where the rich people are and stuff like that? You know, that's what I'm talking about. You know, they want to really make a difference as an activist. Go ahead and close Baltimore Airport. You know, how come we're not closing San Diego Airport just like we did in Acapulco? That's what I'm talking about. If they're real activists, that's exactly what we need to do. And I'll come and join you. You know what I'm saying? I'm not just talking, you know? So.
Yeah, man, definitely appreciate your perspective. I can tell we're going to have a very interesting conversation here tonight. Now, we're also joined by John Vibes. He writes with us on the anti-media. He's also the author of a book that just came out, The Conscious Resistance. How you doing, John?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, man, I really appreciated your perspective. You live very close to the Baltimore area, and I've been following your updates online as far as your perspective on what's happening there in Baltimore with the riots and all. So can you give us your perspective on that? And we could just start turn this into a roundtable and go from there.
Yeah, so I kind of live in a rural area, probably about a little over an hour away from Baltimore, but as an event promoter, I've spent a lot of time in Baltimore. I've, you know, had multiple businesses of mine broken up by Baltimore cops. I've been messed with by Baltimore cops on dozens of different occasions. So I'm very familiar with this police department and just the dynamics of this city. And really, this is something that's coming to every city. People think that their geography is special, and it's not. You know, I mean, people thought that this was just Ferguson, just a Midwest place. This is every city. Every city's got police brutality. Every city's got poverty, racism, and it's just waiting to explode everywhere. It's just waiting for that one little issue to happen. And, you know, that this is what has happened in Europe. This is what has happened in the Middle East. And, you know, it's a part of that. And, you know, us, we're here, like, talking about this theoretically, and we've been delving into this research for years, and we've thought about, you know, how do we approach this? Do we protest? Do we build alternative systems? You know, do we riot? And, you know, a lot of these people have been just thrown into the mix of this without the benefit of these years of research and stuff like that. So, you know, although I don't agree with what's happening out there in the streets, I kind of understand, and I'm giving them like a little bit of, you know, a little bit of the benefit of the doubt and like some time to like understand that, you know, this isn't the solution, but this is hopefully the beginning of some real resistance on a real level. But it's going to die down just like it did elsewhere. And, you know, there's going to be a very heavy police state situation here for a while. And I think that this is just erupting all over the country. And this is, Baltimore is just the latest stop on this tour, so to speak.
Yeah, man, I agree with you. Back to your point about it not being just a unique issue, of course, not for Baltimore or Ferguson or New York City. we've got this. We've got this situation pretty much coming to a head all over the country. And I think a lot of it has to do not only with the drug war, with racist policing, But also it just has to do with the economic system in general, you know, and the fact that so many people are pretty much left out of the system except for the very few that have the benefit of you know, really, you know, taking advantage of the system that's in place right now that, you know, make the billions and stuff. Everybody else in a big way are pretty much left out, you know, left behind. And I think that's one reason why this is something we're going to see be coming to a head. And John, I think you're right, man. I mean, it's I mean, in a way, it's kind of sad seeing the violence, but at the same time, it's you know, we're seeing people so just fed up with the state and the system that they're turning, you know, literally turning to rioting and looting and stuff like that because they're fed up. So I mean, in a way, it's like, okay, well, at least we know that, like, people realize, okay, something ain't right, you know, because they're so angry about it. And the cops just happen to be the face of the entire system, you know, that you don't actually see congressmen in the street. You don't see senators in the street. You don't see the president in the street. You see cops every day. And so they become the face of the system. And so, like, all of this recent, I know you work with us and we cover, you know, police brutality issues all the time. You also work at the Free Thought Project and, you know, they specialize in covering that stuff. It's happening so much, man, but you know, these guys have really become the face of the state. And I guess that's where I want to go with this next little round on this roundtable. We'll go back to Luis first. Luis, I guess I want to get your perspective on why is it that there's so many people now fed up with the police? Why are these police brutality stories going so viral? Why is pages like Cop Block and the anti-media, you know, so, you know, getting shared so much on social media when we talk about this police violence? What do you think is causing that? Why is there such a police accountability movement rising in this country?
I think that we have grown tired of them. I think we are pretty weary. I think that, you know, John Mackey says it really nicely. He said, you know, I've given up on my generation. And, you know, he's in his 50s. So what he says is, like, I'm really hopeful of people younger, you know, the millennials, the Gen X, Gen Y people. They're really trying to just turn every rock, every place to see the truth because they're thirsty and they want it. And that's kind of what we're doing. That's kind of the we have it in our genes. We have it in our DNA, just the need and the desire for truth, for cooperation, for peace. And we are, like, tired of this kind of stuff. So we are, you know, at some point, some of these pages may seem kind of gory or, like, just thirsty for violence. But what we really want to demonstrate is, it's kind of like showing, you know, turning the lights on this bullshit that's happening. And I think that the more that we do this, the more empowered that we become and the more accountable that we hold them. And eventually, I guess my goal would be, you know, to demonstrate that they're not necessary, that we can have spontaneous order and we don't necessarily need or want to have a nanny state.
Yeah, man, great point. I got this stat here, the one I was trying to reference earlier. But basically, there's been 109 people, according to the Maryland ACLU, since 2010 that have been killed by Maryland police. And the majority of that happened in Baltimore. So, you know, this is an issue that's been kind of stewing in the pot there, you know, and it just took this one incident where it was just so blatantly unjust, you know, where this guy his life could have been saved. The cops could have given him medical care. Instead, they threw him into a police van when he had, you know, his spine was broken in three places. And then because of that, he died, you know. And so this is just one of those stories where it's just so blatantly wrong that it really brought this up to a head. And I mean, I really don't know. I want to go to Manny next because I think Manny has the most, you know, differing view than I know me and John do, at least on this. As far as the looting and the violence goes, you know, why do you think that it's got to this point, man, where it's, you know, 110 people dead in the past 5 years by the cops, but now it's this one, you know, incident that has triggered this huge outcry, and there was like 10,000 people marching peacefully, and we can't forget about that. I mean, it's not just this, you know, this violent contingent. That only makes up like a 10% portion or less of the tens of thousands of people that have, you know, taken to the streets recently in Baltimore over the death of Freddie Gray. Manny, why do you think it's really gotten to this point?
Well, because people are just like in Mexico, the people, the word, ya me cansé. I'm tired, too, of what's happened to 42 students in Guerrero. I'm tired of, you know, all those people, but I'm not going to go damage people's vehicles in the state of Guerrero and stuff like that. Now, going after the cops, we're going in after the symptoms. We need to go after the virus, and the virus is the whole damn system and stuff like that. The cops are just the front people. It's like the secretaries. The secretaries are just the front people, you know. We need to go after the big CEOs in the back if we have a problem and stuff like that. I don't condemn violence, never have. I don't even give them the benefit out. There's no benefit out, because the day I want to go steal something from CVS, I'll find an excuse to go steal from CVS. Does that make it right? No, it doesn't. Just because I'm fed up with the corporations with me, you know, I can have an excuse to become a thief tomorrow, but am I going to make up, wait for something? Oh, yeah, now I can go walk into and just steal everything, you know, stuff like that. Those people are ruined for us. The good people, there's some good people out there. Believe me, my friend just told me, there's some good people that are facing the cops. They're actually facing the cops, yelling like I do, right in front of the cops and stuff like that. And these people are just walking neighborhoods, just destroying stuff. You call them protesters? No, I don't. They're not activists either. They're rioters. They're looters and stuff like that. And one of the things I would like to say is this. Those people that are trying to create peace down there, those are the good people, the 300. Those 300 people, I support with the 300 church and stuff like that. There's clergy people that are out there trying to say, hey, don't do that. Boom. There's women out there that have more sense and say, don't do that, because you're going to make the movement not happen, because all of a sudden you're going to tarnish me. All the good protesters are out there, the activists that are really out there in Baltimore, you're going to try and stand for maybe, what, a couple hundred people that are making us look bad? You know, that's what I'm talking about, you know? And believe me, I'm tired of the system. I'm tired. I've been oppressed so much by Border Patrol, but you don't go see me rioting down there just because I have a problem in Chula Vista cops. I'm not going to go and drop a firebomb on Nick's house just because one of the things, and I mentioned that, Nick, because you know what happens in these type of riots? The wrong people sometimes might be killed. The wrong people have become victims more than the whole system. That's what I'm saying. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. A cop beat a guy, a journalist up yesterday. A couple cops beat up a journalist, and you know, they basically said, "Well, we confused him for a protester," and it was kind of scary because you know, it's like, oh, well, they think it's okay to beat up protesters, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, to me, coming from you know my personal perspective here, I think that. In the bigger picture, you know, the grand scale, I think that the rioting and the violence, it is kind of like small scale stuff. I mean, it's, you know, a couple million bucks in damage maybe, and a few people hurt and stuff like that, which is not a good thing. But I think on the larger scale, I think that, you know, these tactics, I guess we can call them, do kind of help broaden the issue and bring it up into a bigger stage. Because if it was just, you know, a guy named Freddie Gray got beat up by the cops and he died and that's the end of it, the story is run for 2 days by the media and then, you know, that's pretty much it. But, you know, we can look back. I mean, there's been so many riots in this country so many times. I mean, if we look back at like the Rodney King riots, you know, and that's one of the first ones that was really – that really is kind of comparable to what's going on today, because it was basically some citizen journalist caught it on video and it wound up getting into the hands of the media and the media actually ran the story. And I mean, the argument can be made that the LAPD was forced after that, you know, they were forced to really at least superficially try to enact some kind of reforms and stuff, because they couldn't just let this rioting happen and then say, okay, well, we're not going to do nothing about it. After that, it kind of forced their hand into making some changes and stuff. And that's what I want to get to John. After John, we're going to get to a few of these callers. John, do you think there is does this violence, does this rioting play a role in the bigger picture in a positive way, in a negative way? What do you think?
I think it plays a role in both ways, and I'll get to that in a minute. But I also think that it's more or less inevitable. And now, let me explain that a little bit. So at every protest, if a protest is going to get successful enough to where it's actually going to start changing people's minds, there will be agent provocateurs, without a doubt. That's going to happen. And no matter who tries to call them out, no matter how many times they try to expose people, they will keep on sending them in, and they will smash the windows they need to smash. They'll cause the trouble that they need to cause to, you know, put the brakes on what's going on anyway and to push it in that direction. So that's going to happen anyway, in my opinion, for better or for worse. And, you know, it has a number of different effects when it does happen. First of all, it actually gets people talking about it because, you know, everybody that's trapped in their bubble of, you know, whatever they're locked into in their lives and their day-to-day, they're not paying attention to it when it scrolls across their Facebook feed. And, you know, they're not paying attention to it when it's national news, even in Ferguson. But, like, when it comes to their area and, you know, they can't deny it anymore, it's usually by the time that, that violence starts occurring. So, in short, really, I think that sporadic violence is a natural part of this. And it's not something that I agree with. I'm a voluntarist. I believe in the non-aggression principle. But I do think that, you know, when you put violence into the world at the immense rate that the state has, it's going to come back somehow, some way in that same form. That's just the laws of the universe. That's just how it works. So I do think that there is a place to discuss what is right and what is wrong morally. And, of course, looting places and hurting innocent people is not a moral thing to do. But at the same time, I think that we got to recognize that an entirely peaceful protest is kind of a utopian idea. Even Gandhi's followers rioted and looted, and even MLK's followers rioted and looted. Now, MLK and Gandhi did not necessarily approve of that. At times were probably very upset about it, but it's, you know, people don't really pay attention to that, but it's kind of always been there. You know, every now and then a peaceful protest happens, but generally when you look at the broad sense of the movement, that violence flies back in the other direction occasionally. And it is a part of the growth process, I think.
That's a good point, man. You know, we deal with an insane amount of violence coming at us, right? And I think I just read the stats. Since 2010, there's been 109 people killed by Maryland police, right? on that same note, how many cops were killed in the rioting this weekend and today? The answer is none. You know what I mean? Yeah, there were several injuries and broken bones and stuff, and of course, it's horrible. But I think in a way we can look at these acts of rioting, looting, violence, whatever we want to call it, as a form of self-defense. In a way, because we've been under so much violence, whether we're talking about economic oppression, the drug war, racist police tactics. You know, people have been victims of violence for so long that, you know, finally it gets to a point where they start lashing out, and then it's automatically assumed that, oh, they're the aggressors and they're the ones that are, you know, wreaking the havoc on people. When, you know, we also have to keep in mind that in a way this is kind of self-defense. It's acting back against all this violence that's been coming against you for so long. I want to get to a couple callers here because we have a few other people calling in. And if you call in and we don't answer, it's because we have a lot of people on the line right now. Once we get through some callers, feel free to call back in and we can talk about this topic, because we're going to be going on this for another half hour until the end of the show. I'm sure we'll probably be talking about it tomorrow as well. Make sure anyone that tunes in tonight, if you enjoyed yourself and liked the show, make sure you tune in tomorrow, 5 days a week, actually, same time, same website. And you know, we'll probably be talking about this tomorrow as well, and just trying to get as many perspectives out there as possible, so that we can, you know, we can talk about it and share some ideas and have some disagreements, have some agreements and stuff, because, you know, that's what healthy discourse is all about. So my first caller here, I think it's 240 area code. How you doing tonight? You're on the Anti-Media. What do you want to talk about? All right, 240. I'm going to have to drop your call since you're not answering there. And we also have a caller from 317. If you're ready to talk, you're on the anti-media. Let's talk about Baltimore. What do you think about Baltimore? Okay, so that's a drop call too. All right, so we can take a few more callers. Anybody that wants to call in and join us tonight, the number is 718-717-8296. I'm going to go back to Luis here, back to what I was just talking about. Would you consider any of this rioting as a form of self-defense?
Not necessarily, because I think like one of your other callers was mentioning, it's not going towards the persons that started the aggression. So it's kind of a...
Some of it is, because I've seen at least, I don't know, 10 cop cars burned out, right, and smashed up and stuff like that. So I think some of it is. Some of it is being misdirected. I saw at least one kind of mom-and-pop shop smashed up. But at least some of the violence and rioting is going directly at the police, and they're smashing the cop cars and you know, committing violence back towards the police. As far as that, what do you think about that?
Well, I just personally don't think that that is like super productive. I think that there are other ways. I mean, sure, they're desperate. They don't know what to do. They're doing that. You know, like John was saying, it's inevitable. It will happen. I still think that there's probably more resourceful ways to fix this. You know, I don't think that pacifism is the way to go. I'm not saying that we should just take bullshit forever until the other person changes their mind through, you know, ethical thinking or whatever. But I just don't think that, you know, necessarily throwing and burning the cops in their cars and all that jazz will necessarily fix the situation. I think that the anger is fueling this, and it's not taking like really, you know, it's not, they're not really thinking it through for some reason. So I don't necessarily agree with it. Yes, I mean, it was horrible that they killed this guy, but I mean, quite honestly, I'm a gun advocate, but like, what are you gonna do? You know, like, you cannot solve the problems by just necessarily going and doing that. So I agree that, sure, I mean, I dislike cops, but I mean, I'm sure there's another way. So what the way is at this moment, I don't know, you know. Every situation is different, and like he was, John was saying, that can happen everywhere. Every place is ready to riot, you know. I think that that's also what they want to implement, other things such as, you know, like they were going to start declaring Baltimore. They're going to have some curfew starting tomorrow night. So, in other words, you're going to have martial law. So, I mean, those actions are going to create other actions from the state that's going to keep us further into violence, and it's going to like basically get worse.
Yeah, man, that's a definitely an interesting perspective. I think that you know, there's two different ways that this situation is going to affect people, right? Or maybe there's more than two, but I think there's two main ways. You know, there's going to be those people that are scared out of their minds, and they're going to be like, oh my God, yeah, please bring the cops in and save us. And bring in the National Guard. We need to arrest all these thugs. And then you got the state of mind of people saying, why in the hell are they doing martial law? You know, and they're bringing in all this military troops, basically, and equipment to come down and police the streets. And people are like, you know, I thought they weren't allowed to do that anymore. But obviously, as you mentioned, you know, there is a very close to what could be considered a martial law scenario developing right now, with the curfew going into place tomorrow and the National Guard being out in full force. I heard the spokeswoman on the radio just a few minutes before the show started saying that they're going to have a massive presence in Baltimore tomorrow. So I don't know what they mean by massive, but I'm guessing they're going to have several thousand troops down there. In the streets, going all up and down the streets, and you know, all that stuff. And we saw how that kind of worked out in Ferguson earlier, you know, a few months ago, and it's starting to boil back up. And it's kind of, to me, it's kind of a very sobering thought to get into here, because we're talking about this curfew idea being implemented twice now in the past several months. And that's a very dangerous thought, you know. And it's curfews are a huge overreach of the state. I mean, here in San Diego, where I'm at, we actually have a curfew for the youth. You know, if you're under 18, you got to be home before like 10:30. I actually got a ticket when I was a kid. I got a ticket for that, even though I was driving and I got pulled over before the curfew. And because the cop had me not detained, but pulled over, and it took me after the curfew, he gave me a ticket for that as well. And so, you know, it's a pretty crazy, you know, pretty crazy thought as far as what's going on now with this, you know, increase in militarization that we're starting to see in Baltimore. We got a couple callers on the line now. Let's hopefully these guys are on the line. From 718, you were the first one to call in. You want to chime in on what's going on in Baltimore?
I'm assuming that's me.
Yep, that's you.
Okay, hi. How you doing, guys?
Pretty good. We're talking about Baltimore and what's going on there with the riots, and now we're starting to get into what's the martial law scenario that's starting to build up there. What do you think?
Wow, I don't even know where to start. I just want to say that it's to the point where martial law is implemented. Obviously, it's serious, no doubt. But I don't see any alternate options to possibly contain the situation. You know what I mean? I think it's past the point of talking as far as from both sides. What do you guys think?
Yeah, man, it's definitely interesting, the dynamic that's developing there.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I saw that people today had the riot cops on the run. You don't see that very often.
Yeah, when they were throwing the rocks, correct?
Yeah, and it was a mob of people just throwing a massive amount of rocks at these guys, and then a few of the cops started throwing rocks back, and you know, it was, you know, it turned into a huge chaos situation. But I mean, it was kind of I don't know how to describe it, seeing that happen today. It definitely, like you said, it's past the point of talking. And action, you know, people are so frustrated. I'm sure a lot of the people that were out there today protesting were also people that were part of, you know, the Ferguson protests, the Eric Garner protests, and the frustration level is probably through the roof because so many people out there are out there fighting every day. And here in San Diego, I mean, we're out there all the time at the protests, whether we're participating or covering it as media or whatever. We're out there and you know, the people are kind of frustrated because this stuff just keeps happening and the cops are getting away with impunity. You know,
correct.
For the most part, they're almost like never held accountable unless it's like blatant. Yeah, the guy from the Carolinas that shot the guy in the back, he's probably going to be made an example of just because he totally lied and it totally is caught on tape that he was shooting the guy in the back. Like, they're probably going to make an example of him. But like in the case of Eric Garner, where the guy was literally choked to death over a couple of loose cigarettes, I mean, you know, and the cops weren't held accountable, this adds so much frustration to the movements. The people want to see something happen. They want to see something change, you know. And so that's why I think we're seeing this point of a very, you know, very, very radical, you know, actions that are going on.
Yeah, honestly, I see no solution whatsoever. I think we're just going to have to let them vent and, you know, let the protesters, you know, just vent. But if you notice the media, as I was just watching the mainstream media around here in New York, they're just pretty much calling them rioters, and they're focusing more on the property damage rather than why, you know, these people are acting the way they're acting. And I think that's very important to get the message out there that there's a lot of raw emotion behind this, because how many times does this need to happen before justice literally gets served?
Exactly, man. Great points. Thanks for calling in. Be sure to tune in to the rest of the show. We're gonna have to move on to the next caller
because we've got a few.
Awesome, man. We'll talk to you later. He made some great points there. You know, and definitely we mentioned it a little earlier about the media narrative that's coming out from Baltimore, and all they're focusing on once again is the rioting, just like they did in Ferguson, and the media is now not talking about Freddie Gray and the fact that there's been 110 people killed by Maryland police, and the broader issue of the entire police state and the drug war, man. I mean, I haven't seen any polls recently, but I'd guess that the drug war is pretty low on the popularity list nowadays. And so people are also pretty fed up with that. And so I want to shift into this a little bit, this topic with the drug war and prohibition. and how prohibition fuels a lot of this violence, whether we're talking about police brutality, whether we're talking about gang violence, whether we're talking about mob violence, cartel violence. I think that the drug war has a huge part to play in why there's so much police brutality in the U.S. and why people are so fed up with what's going on. So I want to go to John first, and then we have a few callers on the line. Maybe they'd like to ask you a few questions, or we can have the callers give their thoughts after you, John. I want to get your perspective on what the role of the drug war plays in this whole police accountability movement, these protests, these riots, these things that are going on in Baltimore. How's it all play in together?
Well, that's really one of the primary reasons that they are able to harass us on a daily basis. That's usually the pretense. You know, they pull us over for, you know, whatever traffic offense, and then they're able to tear apart our car because they smell weed. You know, they're able to come in to our house and kick open the door and shoot flashbang grenades into cribs because they have warrant on, you know, drugs. They're able to shoot a dude in the face, you know, because they had a warrant for drugs. So I think that a lot of this brutality that's kind of done under, you know, the color of law is a very big part of this. And even in the situation of Freddie Gray, he's definitely a multiple time victim of the drug war. And his, you know, people, a lot of the people that are trying to condemn him are bringing up the fact that he has a criminal record. He has a criminal record that's not too dissimilar from mine, aside from the fact that we, you know, our drug of choice was different. But, you know, I think that a lot of this oppression is coming from the drug war, and that's their major pretense and their major excuse to violate our rights at this point. And now, without the drug war, they would still have other ways, but really the drug war is the big victimless crime situation that's going on.
Exactly, man. I definitely agree with you. And if you look at the stats too, man, I mean, the stats are right there. It's the drug war itself is a racist institution. You know, it targets minorities at a huge rate above everybody else. And I think that's, to me, one of the main drivers behind this angst towards the police is this crazy drug war and these insane stories that we see coming out. And we cover them all the time on the anti-media and stuff about these, you know, drug raids gone wrong where they just, you know, they raid somebody's like okra farm and stuff. And like a guy's like growing tomatoes inside and they raid his house and stuff. And, you know, people get shot in the face because they had a sack of weed, which just happened out of Florida, which we covered. And, you know, these crazy things, and it makes people so angry, and it makes people just understand. It's like, man, like, why are we regulating this the drugs that people use in their bodies while at the same time we basically endorse the fact that people are using a bunch of these pharmaceutical drugs that are, you know, questionable at best. In many cases, and that's perfectly fine, but then at the same time, the government tells us, oh, but you can't put weed in your body if you live in half of the country, and even if you do live in a country that's legalized, you never know if the feds are going to come down on you or whatever, you know, and I think people are really kind of angry about that, and I think that really plays a big part in what's going on with these anti-police brutality movements. We got a couple callers on the line. I just want to remind everybody to make sure you're muted. Make sure if you're on the line, you're muted up because we get a little bit of feedback here. First, we're going to go to 812. Are you still on the line there?
Is that me?
Yeah, that's you. How's it going? So we're back to this topic of what's going on in Baltimore, how the drug war ties into this. Do you have any thoughts on this, or did you want to talk about something?
Yeah, I do. I'm a former MP in the Army. I did 4.5 years. And, you know, seeing what's going on, you know, is pretty sad, but I totally agree with you guys. The brutality is out of control. You know, when you think about it, how many MPs kill their fellow soldiers? You know, it doesn't really happen.
It basically never happens.
It's very rare. But how many civilian cops kill their fellow civilians? It's happening every day. And I came across the Martin Luther King quote, and it says, "It is not enough for me to stand before you tonight and condemn riots. It would be morally irresponsible for me to do that without at the same time condemning that contingent intolerable conditions that exist in our society. These conditions are the things that cause individuals to feel that they have no other alternatives than to engage in violent rebellions to get attention. And I must say tonight that a riot is the language of the unheard."
Yeah, man, that's a great quote. That was our show opener and our show promo meme. That you might have seen our meme that we put up there for the radio show. But I definitely agree with Martin Luther King's sentiment there, because it kind of leads back to what we've been going over here tonight. It's because people have been ignored for so long, and the problems continue to persist, and it never really gets fixed, and there's never really any structural reforms or grievances that are addressed that actually change things in a fundamental way. We're always kind of like tinkering around the edges of these ideas, and these politicians run on these ideas that are very much just very superficial, tinkering around. And you know, of course, Obama was supposed to like change all this stuff and improve everybody's lives and stuff. But like we all saw what happened, like by you know supporting someone, you know, a person that's in the political establishment, Republican and Democrat. We saw what happened. Yeah. You know, like all the promises that were made were unfulfilled.
And it's come down to where it's no longer a Republican or Democratic issue. You know, you're either for Main Street or you're for Wall Street. And, you know, to see the police militarize the way they do, I mean, it's not only scaring a lot of people. I mean, you know, the government is pretty much creating this atmosphere of distrust, you know, because when I went through the military, you know, they drilled in our heads attention to detail and how to use a proper escalation of force. And in my opinion, I think a lot of local police departments lack that training because it wasn't drilled into their head.
Yeah, man, that's a great point. And thanks for calling in. And make sure you check us out for the rest of the week, too. We're at the same time, same website. But yeah, I think that there's a huge lack of training that's going on right now with the police departments. I mean, there was a study that recently came out that showed that if the officer was college educated, that he had a way less likely chance of using excessive force. And there's actually been court cases that showed that the cops literally discriminate against people that are smart, you know, and smart people tend to have a conscience and tend to have like a moral equilibrium. And they actually discriminate against smart people that apply to be cops, and they go for the guys that are more or less not as you know, morally sound. More or less, they're going after the guys that are just going to stay within the thin blue line and keep everything, you know, with the status quo. Thanks again, man, for calling in. We got to move on to the next caller here. Feel free to continue listening in. We have another caller from 262. How's it going? You're on the Anti-Media. Do you want to chime in on what's going on in Baltimore?
Yeah, hey, how's it going? And thanks for taking the call here. My name is Dale. I host a similar show podcast on livefromconfusion.com. Just a quick little plug, but just to totally talk about everything that is going on as far as Baltimore is concerned. You know, I think the conversation that you guys are having before about, you know, whether or not a peaceful protest is something that needs to take place and maybe the violence needs to stop, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I think that we live in a time right now where this conversation that you and I are having, this show that you guys do, the internet, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, that is our current form of peaceful protest. I mean, the internet is all over the world at this point. You know, you cannot deny the amount of media coverage that the internet creates. And your show, my podcast, similar, you know, things on the internet, we bring light to these things that, in a manner in which the mass media chooses not to bring light, you know, that is our peaceful protest. You know, the Vine videos that come out of, you know, people rioting and looting, that those things aren't being shown in the same context by the mass media. So again, I say this is our peaceful protest, and I think that we've reached the point where, you know, like MLK said, you know, it's we're the voice of the unheard, but we are being heard. We have this forum, we have this internet where we have the ability to be heard by millions of people, as long as the message is correct. And you know, I think we're past the point of the term peaceful protest in the streets. I mean, people are angry, as the other guy said before. People are angry; they're pissed off. I mean, how much longer can this shit continue before it explodes? I mean, the people of this country, we're supposed to run this country. We're supposed to be the ones, you know, dictating what happens with our government, with our police, on our streets, and yet we're essentially the slaves that exist nowadays. The politicians, the big businesses, the media, they control everything at this point. And we, unfortunately, the majority of the public just, you know, we sit idly by. That's pretty much all I want to say. I can continue the conversation if you'd like, but
thanks for calling in. Thanks for your thoughts, and we really appreciate the call, and you make some great points there. I'm actually going to go into this quote, and ironically enough, it's from Obama here, and he actually said it during his White House correspondence address, or dinner, actually. But Obama said this, and this goes back to your point, investigative journalism, explanatory journalism, journalism that exposes corruption and injustice and gives a voice to the different, the marginalized, the voiceless. That's power. It's a privilege. It's as important to America's trajectory, to our values, our ideals, than anything that we can do in an elected office. And it's kind of funny that Obama is saying this, because he's basically saying, like, hey, dude, like, whether I was well-intentioned or not, I mean, I can't do a damn thing because there's a machine here, and I got to live within it. And I don't want to speculate whether Obama's a horrible person or not. But you know, he's basically sitting here saying this. Our article today was basically pointing out the hypocrisy, because Obama has been pretty horrible against free speech, and he's done a lot of things to journalists and whistleblowers and leakers and stuff like that that have been even worse than Bush. But the quote is so true. And as the caller was saying, it really is a very powerful tool to express ourselves and to get the message out there. And I think that is also kind of underlying, it kind of underwrites what's going on there in Baltimore, because there is this huge internet movement for police accountability, and there is all these websites that are out there that get a lot of people reading their articles and a lot of people seeing their memes about all this crap that's going on. And so that gives more people fuel to their fire, that they're already, you know, the people that are already fed up with this shit, they read about it every day, and it makes them more angry and more angry, and they want more action. They get frustrated because they want to see something happen. You know what I mean? And so I think that the media also plays into it from the other side, while at the same time the corporate media tries to play it as like, oh, there's just a bunch of, you know, violent people causing destruction, and let's forget about Freddie Gray, and let's forget about everything else that's happening. And that's really the narrative that's being pushed out by, you know, CNN and Fox News and all these people. They don't want to talk about the drug war. They don't want to talk about the police state. You know, they want to talk about a couple people causing riots, you know, and that's what makes their headlines. That's what gets their clicks. And, you know, that's how these guys make money. And not only that, but it's so beneficial for them to play that, because, you know, they're a huge part of the establishment. They're a huge part of allowing the government to get away with what the government gets away with. And, you know, because of that, they get special treatment and, you know, access and all that other crap that comes along with being a corporate media organization. But I think that... Yeah, man, I think that as one of the early callers was mentioning, is like, I think it's really important to bring the message back. Let's refocus the message back to what went on with Freddie Gray. Manny, you want to chime in on this?
Yeah, I wanted to chime in on it, because you see, as an activist, I also see the other side. Just like you said it exactly correct, but there's also one more detail. There's always a group of people that do something, and they want to do something. They don't give a rat's ass about Freddie Gray. They're just going to do it regardless. They have no clue who he is. They don't care who he is. They're just out there to find a reason and stuff like that. Also, there's a lot of propaganda by some people in the community. There's some people that don't want to see peace, period. between us or the cops or anybody else for that matter. There's people that just want to completely, you know, ruin the movement, just like the Occupy movement got ruined and stuff like that. Now, I think we're hypocrites because I made a comment. I was fascinated that the Crips and the Bloods got together, you know, in Baltimore, you know, as unity. That was beautiful. My thing is this. How come nobody gets mad when a black woman gets killed or anybody else? Why doesn't anybody get mad when brother is killing brother? The Crips are killing the Bloods and the Bloods are killing the Crips and nobody's saying nothing. Those are the solutions that we need to put our energy out there. Now, as you know, hate is not in my vocabulary. Anger is not in my vocabulary. I'm fed up with the system. I am fed up. I am completely destructive of the system. And I just completely, you know, want to put my positive energy to do something good, because this thing that's happening with the few people that are crossing the right are going to ruin it for the rest of us. You know, the good people that are doing some good things, the protesting, getting in the faces of the cops, the people we should be targeted anyway, stuff like that, you know. So those are the things that, you know, will bring us more together instead of dividing us. What do you think we're going to resolve with this? Nobody's going to have sympathy for us, just like they did. There's people that have sympathy in my causes because they see that, you know, I'm out there doing it. You know, I don't think, because I've seen too many drive-bys, Nick, you know what I mean? The wrong people always get shot. You know, the wrong people always get hurt, and I don't think it's fair, basically.
Yeah, man, I understand what you're saying fully. I think we do got to make sure that the message isn't lost, though, and you know, that we have to remember that there's a huge problem with police violence. Whether there's riots or not, you know, we saw what happened in Ferguson. And after that, you know, they killed, 300 people in the first 3 months of the year? The American police, you know, they haven't slowed down, man. They killed, in 1 month, they killed more people than they've killed in England in 100 years. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's a big, it's a huge issue. Now, besides that, the fact that we're experiencing this, I want to go to Luis next as far as, and keep in mind, we only have about 2 minutes left here, so we got to be swift. What can we do to start finding better alternatives to the cops?
Better alternatives to the cops. I recently interviewed Cody Drummond, and he's the guy that made the app Peacekeeper. Well, that app is amazing, and it helps you actually be more in touch with your neighbors and people in your area. And, you know, you put it in your Android or iPhone, and then you are able to see, you know, like going back to, you know, your roots, to your community, and getting to know one another. I think that that's one of the things we can really improve on.
Cool, man. Thank you. And back to what Manny was saying too, man. And it's a big issue with also becoming self-responsible, because yeah, there's a huge structural problem with the drug war, and keep in mind, prohibition creates the gangs. You know what I'm saying? So honestly, if it weren't for the drug war, the Crips and the Bloods probably wouldn't even exist right now. You know, and it was the same way how the mafia was created by the prohibition. But at the same time, we have to, I think, take self-responsibility much more at the community level, so that there isn't a need for the cops. You know what I'm saying? As much.
Exactly. Absolutely.
John, you wanna finish us off here? We got about a minute left.
Well, I would just say that, you know, as far as solutions go, that it's all about people just taking matters into their own hands and, you know, becoming the solution, becoming the alternative. You know, the Black Panthers had a pretty good idea back in the 60s, and that was just they were volunteering their community protection. And I think it'll come from a variety of charities and maybe even a couple people here and there trying to make a buck by, you know, providing protection for people. And that's what it's going to take. Those are my thoughts.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Luis, John, Manny, everybody, thank you all for your ideas, perspectives. Hopefully we can work through this, what's going on in Baltimore, and try to make some change at the community level. Peace, everybody. See you tomorrow. Same time, same site. Peace.
Thank you.
Adios, señores.
I'ma let 'em know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo.